Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Mr. Motivator, and it's my stage name. I also perform not only motivational speaking, but I also perform stand-up comedy. And I'm looking at all of the body today, and I want to say to you, Derek is right. You see, so many of us have a lot inside of us, but for some reason,
welcome, everyone. You've just tuned in to the Mr. Motivator Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey, reminding you that success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. I want to welcome everyone who is with us on the broadcast. And if this is your first time tuning in, I want to say to you what I say to everyone. Put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad, because it's time for you to get some motivation and some inspiration. We have a great, exciting show lined up for you today. Life-changing ideas. But before we start with our show, I want to give all of you a chance to check out my website. You can go to cmrmotivator.com. That's the letter C as in cow, MRMOTIVATOR.com, cmrmotivator.com. And also, if you'd like to check out my blogs and find out other various information and things that I have going on, you can go to my blog, which is dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. That's D-W-I-G-H-T. jeffrey.blogspot.com. Folks, this is another important broadcast, and we want to explore ideas that can help you improve your life, develop your leadership skills, and define your purpose in life. If you are ready to change your career, change your life, or maybe you need to change your attitude, you are at the right place and at the right time. Also, I would like to introduce my special guest who's with us today. Not only is she a beautiful lady, both inside and out, she is my spiritual mom. She's my mentor. She's been an encourager to me and my family. And she is a woman of God. She evangelizes. She counsels people with the word. And she's a woman who's been through ups and downs, but she is strong in her faith. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me a great pleasure to welcome the awesome, the bold, the daring, the intelligent, the witty, Sister Dale Jones. Welcome, Sister Dale. Before we get started, I'd like to ask you a question. Could you tell everybody where are you from? Where did you grow up in?
My name is Earlene Jones. Yes. I grew up in Austin, Texas.
Oh, Austin, Texas.
And little town I stayed in was Creekmoor, Texas.
Creekmoor, Texas. Wow.
And we lived there with my father and my mother, and I had 12 of us, and it was 9 girls and 3 boys.
Wow. That's a large family.
Yes, my dad and all of us, we stayed in the country. We did country stuff.
Yes.
We pulled cotton, we chopped, we did everything.
Yes.
In the country.
Yes.
So we used to go to this church called State of New York Baptist Church.
Yes.
And the pastor that I come up with named Reverend Cooper.
Awesome.
I was young. I was like about 15 or 16, we all joined church.
Wow.
My daddy was a deacon.
Uh-huh.
And all of us, we slung in the choir. We pulled cotton.
Yes.
We chopped cotton. We lived in the country.
Yes.
We fed hogs. We did everything in the country.
Yes.
Because my daddy didn't have but 3 or 4 boys, but all of us was 9 girls. All of us together, it was 12 of us.
Wow. Now tell me something, Sister Dale. Has your attitude always been positive like this?
No, I didn't come positive like this until I got to learn to know Jesus.
Yes, I heard you.
And I thank my dad and mama for growing us up in church. We didn't have no choice to work in the church.
Yes.
Because our daddy growed us up there, and we've been working. I've been working in church all of my life.
Yes.
If I don't know the Lord by now, I tell them to my mind and everybody else. I slap my own family. I know the Lord.
Yes,
because
yes.
I look at my life. Mm-hmm. I'm telling somebody, yeah, look at my life. I just thank God.
Yes.
He brought me.
Yes.
I'd have been through so much hell. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even be here today.
Wow.
Because I'd have been through the storm.
Yes.
I'd have been through the rain.
Yes.
I'd have been through hell.
Yes.
I'd have been everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got saved, I mean, when I was working in church down there, we didn't have no choice because my dad made us do.
Because
we were young. And I think about it now, I'm glad he did that.
Yes.
Because it made me a new life.
Yes.
It made me grow up.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a choice. One thing I had when I went to church, I didn't want to be a working Sunday school.
Yes.
But I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Because we had to do it.
Yeah.
And I used to cry. Daddy said, I don't care about you crying. You're going to Sunday school. You're going to teach something.
Wow.
Me and all of us, we don't have a choice.
Wow. Well, you know, thank you for sharing that with us, Sister Dale. And, you know, it's great that you appreciate what your parents did for you. Mm-hmm. And I think we need more of that today. But I want to ask you a question. What comes to your mind when you hear the word character and integrity? Tell me what you think about
it. Character is how you carry yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How you appreciate things.
Yes.
How you use what you got.
Uh huh.
And all of us, when you don't know it, that's when you learn things through God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So even when you don't have God, God still will help you.
Yes.
That's right. Because sometimes you might not can go to Paris, but you got to learn God for yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when you learn God for yourself, you know, we growed up.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to learn it for ourselves. Because, and I think about it, I'm telling people today,
mm-hmm.
once you get a relationship with God,
yes.
you got everything.
Yes. Right.
You know, we know we can count on our parents, but one day we're going to get old.
Yes.
We're going to grow up.
Yes.
We're going to get married, have our own children.
Yes.
We got to have God first in everything we do. Everything in our life, we got to have.
Yes.
Because we can't live off of people. We can't live off of preachers. We can't live off of choir. We can't live off of usher. We got to learn to have God because he's the head of everything in the church.
That's
because
right.
he is the church.
Yes. You know, I was thinking just then, you know, I thought about, can you tell everybody, are you your grandmother, I presume, right?
Yes, I'm a grandmother.
Your grandmother. And how many grandkids do you have?
Well, all together, I got about 12.
Wow, 12.
And I love them because I look at them, and I look at myself sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at my children, they look at their own children, they look at themselves. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I am blessed because when my kids was coming up, they worked in church. They
yeah.
didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. my husband was a deacon,
mm-hmm.
and I said, how I got in church, me and my kids, God got my children. He didn't get me and Brother John, my husband, but he got my kids.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he got my kids. And when he got my kids, that's when he drove me and my husband in.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know what? God get one way of it. If he can't get your husband and wife,
yeah.
he'll get your children.
So you and your husband were not attending when...
We weren't attending no church. What's that about no church? My pastor came down on one Sunday.
You were still partying a little bit.
I was still partying and having a good time.
Yeah.
My pillow was gone.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed of it,
because
I was thinking about that other week, about how I was telling them, Jones, telling you, Mama Job, and I said, yeah, we were drinking and partying. My pillow went to church.
Yeah.
And that's how they get God to tell you something. God will get you one way or the other.
Yes.
He'll get you through your children, or your husband, or your wife, or your mama, or your dad. Mm-hmm. But my big man, Jesus, got me through my children.
Yes.
And what's so bad about it, my pastor came down on a sack, on a good Friday.
Uh-huh.
And he spit in my yard on Ed Arbor, and he told me it was Easter coming up that Sunday.
Yeah.
Never told him that, but my baby boy said, Mama, I'm going to church this morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, me and Brother John Phillip and that's still partying and drinking and making bags. But God got my children.
Wow.
And I thank God because he looked down on my children because me and Brother John, we was partying like a nigga chump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed to tell nobody because
yes, ma'am.
Everything that I did, it brought me close to God. When God can't get the grown folks, he'll get your children.
Yeah.
And that's where God is. Well, he can't get your heart here, but he'll get your children. And when he gets your children, ain't nothing you can do. Okay? I started going. Mm-hmm. But my husband, he was still partying.
Yeah.
Drinking and partying.
Uh-huh.
But God got me.
He got you first.
He got me first.
And you said your husband
was I was laying up in the bed, and I said, I'm going up there to see what my children doing on one Sunday morning.
Uh-huh.
I got up there, went up there to the church.
Yes.
When I opened the door, the children saw me come in. They forgot about that was singing. They were so glad to see their mama.
Wow. And you said, and then you got turned on and got excited. Okay, now tell us about your husband. Now, I know you lost your husband, the late Ivy Lee Jones.
And about my husband, how he got there.
But yeah, we want to hear about your husband and what happened to him during that transition.
When my husband got saved,
yes,
and I went to church that second Sunday, that Sunday, I was finna go back home and live with back, move back to Austin.
Yes.
Papa Bitch Murray came over there. He knocked on the door.
Yes.
And you know what I said when I was Bitch Murray? You were right on time. He said, what that means, Mr. Dale? I said, because I was finna pack my bag and go home and stay back down home with my mama and him again.
Wow.
And Brother Dale, Bishop Murray said, I said, Bishop Murray, he said, that's all right, Mr. Dale. You right. I'm right on time. I said, yeah, you sure is, Bishop, because I'm about to pack my bag Monday morning, go to Austin and live.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But Bishop Murray stayed at that house that night over there. And he moved everything out of the room except the coffee table in the camp.
Uh-huh.
Brother John went around that table.
Yes.
He said, just keep on going around the table, Brother John. Next thing I know, Brother John got the Holy Ghost going around the table. He couldn't stop. And then you know what? The house was all, even the children was asleep.
Yes.
God woke them up.
Yes.
Everybody got the Holy Ghost up in that house that night. Even a neighbor coming over after you nosy, they got the Holy Ghost. Bitch Murray talked to him and they said that.
Yes.
I said, Lord, if whoever gets this house,
uh-huh,
it will never be the same.
Wow, that's a beautiful testimony, Sister Dale. Now, tell me, what do you think about, or what do you have to say about someone that never shows up, or they very seldom show up, and they stand people up all the time? What do you say about that?
You know what that is? They don't have Christ.
Yes.
Because if you got Christ, you're going to be on time.
Oh, I heard.
Our God is a timely God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was wrong with us today. We want a position in the church.
Yes.
And we up here telling people this, but you ain't on time.
Yes.
You can't sit up and play with God up in God's house.
Yeah.
Either you're going to be for God, or if you got a position, and you know your position is of being on the earth, you're supposed to be on time when the morning service comes at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be on your position.
Yeah.
You just can't come in God's house and just think you can just do what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
No, you can't do it because you know why? My big bad Jesus writing it down on your life.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that's what hinders a lot of people in life from growing and being successful when they aren't diligent over something small, to be faithful over whatever they have?
You got to be rude. You got to be faithful with what you do.
Yes.
You can't be hypocritical.
Yes.
You can't play church with God.
Yes.
How you going to play church with God when he already knows you and made you from the foundation of the word?
Yes.
You can't fool God. You know what you're doing?
Uh-huh.
You fooling yourself. You mention that going to heaven.
Yes.
You end up going to hell.
Yes.
But it's not God's fault. It's your fault.
Yes.
Because first thing you need to do is get yourself a relationship with God.
Amen.
If you get a relationship with God, he'll teach you and learn you.
That's right.
But if you don't have the Holy Ghost to talk to God, a lot of people don't know how to talk to God.
Yes.
The way you talking to Mary, your friend, that's the way you talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
He's a spirit. He's not a jump over here and a jump over there. He's a spirit.
Yes.
If you want God, you got to have a relationship with God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
So you can't be one over here to the left for the devil, and over here to the right for God. That ain't nothing but a hypocrite.
I see. So you're saying when people are straddled the fence, they got two personalities. They this way today, and tomorrow they're another person.
Over here with me today, Sunday morning, Monday day I need for the devil in the world. You can't serve God like that.
Yeah.
Because if you're serving God like that, you know what you're doing? You know what you're doing? You're missing heaven and going to hell. You got to be real with God.
Yeah.
You can't fake with God. How are you going to fake with somebody when they already made you and know you from the first or the beginning of the world?
So,
you know when you come out of your mama's stuff and all that?
Yeah.
You can't fool people.
Mm-hmm.
God got some people can see right through you.
So
from the pulpit to the bad girl.
That's right. So you're saying those people that do the beautiful talk and they make you feel extra good and they're doing, say they're going to do this and that, but they're fooling themselves if they're not real.
Lord have mercy. God, you know what? Listen, like I'm telling somebody today.
Yeah.
You can't come up to God's house and play church. You might wear your fine clothes.
Yes.
Your fine hat.
Uh-huh.
Your knockout shoes. Fit the jewelry on. But you still can't fool God. And God got people set up in the church know you.
Mm-hmm.
They know the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I don't know why people don't tell them. Because really a lot of people don't tell them because, and they ain't getting away even if people tell them.
No, they're not.
Because, see, even the word will whoop you up.
Yes.
And the word is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You can't play with God.
Yes.
Either you for God on the right, or either you for your devil. You know what I'm going to tell you like I tell my children?
Uh-huh.
If you ain't going to serve God,
uh-huh,
I want you to walk out and you go to heaven quick. But sitting up in there playing with it,
that's dangerous.
That's a dangerous thing. You know what you're doing? You're cutting your life.
Yeah.
You cut your life to go to heaven.
Now, I want to ask you another question. Tell me your definition of a good leader is and a bad leader, and how do you know which one is which?
All the way you're going to know the good leader, you got to get the Holy Ghost. You got to have big, bad Jesus.
Yes.
If you ain't got Jesus, I'm sorry. You ain't going to make this journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing about God,
yes,
he don't let nothing slip upon him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell you from the good and to the bad.
Yes.
He'll show you the hypocrite, and he'll show you who did it and who ain't got it.
Yes.
You can't play church with big bad Jesus. Because how you going to play for something that made you and knows you from the foundation of the word?
Yes.
Then God got people setting up in the church and know you too.
That's right.
And they just don't say nothing. Because sooner or later, God going to clean house.
Mm.
And when he clean house, it's over.
Yeah.
Because, see, I was telling ladies today, I said, we can't play church with big bad. You ought to go play with somebody their whole life, 24/7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't play with God.
Yes.
You know what you're doing?
Yeah.
You missing heaven and going to hell. Because hell is real and heaven is real.
Yes.
So God gave us a choice, make our own decision, where you want to go to the right or you want to go to the left.
Yes.
And the Lord is soon to come. You don't quit playing church. Be for real.
Yes.
You ain't got to fool people. You ain't got to prove people nothing. All that you need to prove is big, bad Jesus.
Yes.
He's the one going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in.
Well, looking at the fact that you explained that very clearly and that you're a product of being around good leaders.
Yes, I am.
Now, could you give us some examples, share some leaders in your life that had a profound, I know your dad was one.
Yes, he
was. So tell us about your dad. What kind of man, was he a man of his word? What, tell us what has been with you that you learned from your dad and how he conduct business and everything.
My dad was a deacon at World at Santa Union.
Yes.
And we didn't have a choice. My daddy lived his life that he talked about.
And what kind of work did he do?
He worked on a farm.
Oh, okay.
He was a farmer.
He was a farmer, okay.
He had good crops, and we worked in the country. Like, mm-hmm. We lived in the country. The church was in the country.
Yes.
And my mama had nine girls and all them boys, three boys, because one boy died.
Mm.
We didn't have a choice but go to church and worship.
Yes.
And I thank God for my mama and my daddy that brought us up in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it now, I said to my children, as I look at it, I used to say, ooh, I just fool, we got to go to church. Our life was a church. But you know what?
You worked in
we worked in the cotton field.
You worked and went to church.
We went to church. We worked in the cotton field 5-6 days a week sometimes.
Wow.
We pulled cotton, we chopped, we had garden, country garden, we did everything. Fed the hog, fed the chicken, did everything. We worked from the country. And I'm glad of that.
And so that means you didn't grow up knowing what that being lazy or slothful, you didn't know what that was.
We didn't even have time to be lazy. We had to go to the field at 7 o'clock in the morning.
7 o'clock in the morning.
Get out there. Sometimes 6 in the evening.
7 to 6.
And boy, it was hot.
Yes.
Pulling cotton corn stalks and pulling corn, feeding hogs.
Yes.
Slopping them and doing everything. We did all that.
Yes.
And I look back over now, and I'm 68 years old, and I still can do better than my kids.
Well, hey, you might as well tell the truth, Lizelle.
Because these generation we got here now,
mm-hmm.
They some generations that God said, they're whippers.
Mm.
They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to listen.
Don't want to listen.
They don't want to help nobody.
And you feel like the younger generation today, they know it all.
And can't tell them nothing.
Yes.
That's why they get bumped off. That's why they get on drugs. You can't tell them nothing. All the time they listen, and they get mad because you're telling them the truth. But you know when I tell my soul, where the shoe is fit.
Yes.
Then when I bust out and go on down the line and I tell them something, and then they come back, you know what, Mama? You said that. I said, well, I ain't said nothing. I just wonder whether you listen.
Yeah.
Because life is an uphill journey, y'all. We're living in Revelation time right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord is soon to come. We better quit playing church. If you want to go to heaven, you better get on the good foot, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, your husband also, Deacon Ivy Lee Jones, he was an inspiration to me. He was a man that loves his family. He was a leader. Could you tell everybody about your husband, the late Deacon Joseph, and
working in the church?
Working in the church. And tell us about his work ethic. And did you call him dragging his feet and being late when he had to go to work or go to?
I'll tell you something. Well, I told Brother Jones, me and Brother Jones, that's probably being Brother Jones, Cole and Bishop here, my pastor.
Yes.
He would never put you on a position if you ain't gonna be on time.
Mm.
When you serving big bad Jesus, you got to be on time.
Yes,
if he said you're a deacon,
yes,
you need to be on time.
Yes.
If you said you're a pastor,
yes,
you're supposed to be on time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're an usher,
uh-huh,
on time.
Yes.
I don't care if you're a choir member,
yes,
you're on time.
Yes.
Because when you don't do it, it makes it hard on the next person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you got a position, and you said you're serving God.
Yes.
Because my God, he's an on-time God.
Yes,
yes he is. And he do not play. That's why sometimes you ain't going to be on time. You don't need to be open your mouth and I want to be urged. I want to be a crime member. You can't get on time for all that. And you go to on Monday morning with your job at 7 o'clock, you there.
Mm.
You wouldn't even have a job if it wasn't for God.
That's right.
He was our life. We you know what? We live because of God, but
yes.
We die because of God.
Yes.
We don't have time now, 2014.
Yes.
We don't have time to be playing church.
Yes.
You better get real.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Either you're going to be for God or either you're going to be for the devil.
Yes.
But don't come up in God's house being a hypocrite. What is the prophet? Nothing.
Yes.
Because God looking right at you.
Mm-hmm.
And he just has, sometimes God just has mercy on some of us.
Yeah, he sure does.
And we have some of these folks up in here calling themselves preachers, jadabalities, and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
You, if you ain't living nothing, why just to try to tell somebody else something?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then God said, what prophet a man to set up and tell something and gain the whole world?
Yeah. And then lose his
soul. And then lose his soul and you going along with it.
Yes.
Now these days, we better be careful who we listen to preach.
That's right.
That's why God gave you a Bible. You need to read it from Genesis to Revelation.
Yes.
Because these days, we're living on borrowed time.
Yes.
And the Lord is soon to come. We don't have to be playing church. Mm-hmm. Poor pit ain't up there. That folks ain't living nothing. Poor folks ain't living nothing. Mm-hmm. Angels ain't living nothing. Deacons mm-hmm. ain't living nothing. Everybody coming up there now, you know what they're for? It's all about money.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't helping nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't helping nobody out here. That's why the drug people's out there on the street. That's why prostitutes are on the street.
Yes.
That's why so many people killing themselves.
Yes.
And so many of us, we can't pay our bills.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make it down here if we didn't. And you can't make this journey without God.
Yes.
That's right.
Because God made you, and that's where it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
God changes not for you or nobody.
Awesome. You know, I tell you today, you are really putting it out there today. Now, you, I know you said there was another special friend that you had, another friend who was a deacon. I think you talked about him a lot, Deacon Davidson. Now, tell us about Deacon Davidson and why was he so special to you?
Brother Davis, I like him about Brother Davis.
Yes.
He was a very sweet person. He
yes.
had a good heart.
Uh-huh.
And if he had a position, that's what I liked about my husband.
Yes.
And Minister Cole.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because they was an on-time God.
Mm-hmm.
Doing stuff for God, they was on time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they was, what's so bad about when you really know the law?
Yeah.
You're going to be on time. You ain't going to be slow and dragging.
Uh-huh.
And if pastor give you a position in the church, if he said you were here, deacon, you're supposed to be there.
That's right.
And Brother Davis and Brother Cole and Brother John, I had to give it to them. They was on time stuff. And the reason why they was on time, because if we start church at 11, we're out of there by 12:30. It's just how you be there on time. So when you don't be on time, you make the church be late.
Yes.
You can't be saying you, this, I'm a head deacon, and I'm this and that, and you ain't on time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell Sister Dale anything when you ain't on time.
Yes.
You don't need to be holding no position in no church if you ain't on time. Because, see, with God, you got to be on time. My brother David always said, there, when I get down to zero, my big bad is still my hero.
Well, you know, I was getting ready to ask you that because I know somebody told me that Deacon Davis was fired. He lost his job. And, you know, he talked to you about it. And I was going to ask you, would you repeat that, what you said Deacon Davis told you when he lost his job?
He said, when I lost my job, so Dale, I thought about what you said. That's that big bad Jesus. I said, you know what, Brother Davis? Let God find you a job.
Yes.
Tell him what kind of job you want.
Uh-huh.
And if you tell God, he's going to give you that job.
Did he get that job?
He got that job.
He got that job.
Tell your bad Jesus gave me the job.
Yes.
Bob was with the shouting all upon. I said, you know what, Brother David, you said, even before he died, you know what he told me?
What did he say?
He said, something down. If I go for you, or you go for me,
uh-huh.
you stay with your big bad teeth.
Yeah.
So I said, Brother David, when I get down to zero, God said, you said, Brother David, that he's still your hero.
Wow. I like that. When Brother Davis would say, when he gets down, when I'm down to zero.
Down to zero. Uh-huh. My big bad Jesus, your still hero, Sister Dale.
Well, I tell you, now that's strong faith. Another thing I want to ask you, you mentioned something I think is pretty strong about getting a lot of the kids, getting our kids off the streets. Earlier today we turned a corner, we saw some kids out there, you know, smoking and drinking and doing drugs, and you know, you got gangs all over the place. What do you think, what do you think we need to do to get those kids' attention?
We got to tell them the truth.
Yeah.
We got to tell them about Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, the best thing you can do is give your children to God.
Yes.
Tell God their name. Tell them your name. Tell them their name.
Uh-huh.
And I said, ask God to take everything that's not smelling like dope, beer, liquor, and all that.
Yes.
Ask God to take it away from them. You got to ask.
You got to ask.
If you don't ask, they will never stop. But you go to God. You the mama.
Yes.
You the daddy.
Yes.
You go to God. And like I'm talking to you on this thing, on this mic, that's where you talk to God. Just be flat with God.
Yes.
He already knows.
Yes.
But you got to talk to him and ask him. They have to do it.
So you're saying we got to go boldly and not be afraid to pray and ask to tell God what we want.
If you said you got Jesus,
yes,
talk to Jesus. Jesus, like I'm talking to me, like I'm talking, that's where you go to Jesus and talk.
Yes.
He ain't no precious this, precious that. He ain't no, he just said, there ain't no time for precious. You know what you need to do? God, I need him.
Yes.
Tell him what you need. He don't know what you need till you tell him.
And what do you say to that person who feels like they haven't gotten a raise on their job in about 20 years, and they're seeing other people advance over them, and they don't feel like they're going, well, what do you say to that person?
If you never ask God nothing to open your mouth and tell God what kind of job, what you want to make.
Yes.
God ain't going to come to you unless you open your mouth.
Yes.
Say, Lord, I need some raise on my job.
Yes.
And you got to tell them, I want a $40, $50 raise, tell the Lord.
Yes.
He'll give it to you. You know where I'm talking to you now?
Yes.
That's the way you talk to God. A lot of people don't know how to talk to God.
Okay.
Just come on down for the real thing. Say, Lord, I need a raise.
Yes.
Lord, I need some groceries up in this house.
Yes.
Lord, I need to pay my bills. I don't have no money. Yes. But the cattle up on the hill named Big Bad Jesus, you got all the money.
Yes.
And if you don't ask God, said, I can't go. You know, that's what I like about God, y'all.
Yes.
You got to ask God and tell God what you want.
Yes.
And that's what you're supposed to talk to God. I talk to God 24/7.
Yes. And you know, Mother Dale, I've seen you in the church many times give people money. You fed people,
yes,
and you do things. I know you know that impresses most about you, the fact that you're a giver, and you believe in blessing people, and you believe in giving, paying tithes and all.
Yes.
Now, how do you feel about those people that they want to be blessed, but they don't believe in tithes and paying tithes and giving and doing things to help
you? You can't serve God and not pay your tithes and your offering.
Yes.
Your tithe is your blessing. You don't want to miss nothing from God.
Yes.
That's your blessing right there.
That's the
I
key.
Don't care if you got $20, $10. That's your tithe, whatever. Offering.
Yes.
Just put five or ten, six, six, or $12 on the plate.
Yes.
But make sure you pay your tithe.
Yes.
If you got $20, you know you got, give it to him.
Because you can trust.
You wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, can't go buy groceries. You wouldn't even pay your bills if you didn't give God nothing. God give us so much, y'all, that we don't even come up and give.
That's right.
We sit there knowing we got it.
So you saying they cheap and shortchange God.
If God talks shame you.
I mean,
you don't give God nothing, he ain't going to give you nothing. You know what? When you don't give God that, and we lucky to be getting up in the morning. We living on less than goodness.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Because God around here, this man called my big bad Jesus, he owns the whole world, and nigga ain't got to worry about nothing. Because he gone.
Well, let me ask you this, Sister Dale. Do you believe that God has a purpose for everyone?
God got a purpose for everybody. You know what you, the only way you don't know your purpose because you don't ask.
Mm.
He said, ask and it shall be given.
Yes.
Knock and the door shall be open.
Yes.
If you don't ever know what your position is in Christ,
uh-huh,
you don't open your mouth, he can't do it. Y'all thank God has had to give y'all everything. No, you got a mouth, you need to ask God. And he hear you too.
Yes.
And he listening too.
Yes.
He's a God, he works. He got his hands open, he waiting for you.
Yes.
But a lot of y'all scared of God.
So they can't be negative and fearful. They got to have that unwavering faith. Huh? You just talk to God like you're talking to your husband. If you're talking to your husband, you're talking to God, too. That's the way you talk to God. You talk to your children, that's the way you talk to God.
Wow. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you, looking at a lot of the kids out here having problems and out here on drugs and things, Sister, what can the church do to help the community? Tell us what you think the church might be missing.
Just come out of this church, have to go up and walk in some witness and help people. That's what the kids do. They need to come out of these churches, like God said, and go to witness to people.
Yes.
And even have church out here on the streets. I don't care where they are. You have church. Just tell them.
Yes.
Somebody going to listen.
Yes.
That's what we need to do. Come out, and I told God the other night, bring these folks out of these churches and let us go out here on the byways and the highways.
Yes.
And tell them folks about the drugs, and whatever, prostituting, just killing up each other, robbing.
You're right.
Go out on the byways.
You're right, because people have problems, don't they, sister?
We have problems.
Sometimes. The reason why they're on drugs is because they have a problem that they feel like they couldn't get some. I was looking last week. There was a young lady on YouTube, and she'd been hurt by her friends and family. And she did a video of herself taking drugs, and she had 15, 20 different balls, and she swallowed all of these pills.
Oh, I tell you good. God said, Bill, I guess you got to go buy me a microphone.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'll get somebody to go with me. Just going out here, we're
going to
talk about
Jesus. Yeah, because that's all it. Don't you think that some people, that they don't feel love, and they feel that they don't have no purpose in life, and therefore they want to destroy their bodies, or they want to.
Because see, people are looking for love.
Yes.
And if you don't have no love, you know, it's hard out here. I don't care if it is. It's hard for me, too, but all that I make it through is through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But people are looking for love, and let them know, because we have problems. Some people got a problem real bad.
Uh-huh.
And so when you don't have Christ, you can't handle that.
That's right.
You cannot handle nothing without God.
Yes.
You got to have Jesus.
Yes.
And all of what can solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And know how to work the problem.
Yes.
But if you don't never know, you don't never open your mouth and ask, you'll never know.
Woo, you are on it. And you know, Sister, I know that you've been a Sunday school teacher for many years,
mm-hmm.
but you've often told me and other educators out in the field, you said, how can you have an effect on those kids if they don't feel any love from you? Tell us about why you think school teachers need to help.
I was up there with my daughter.
Yes.
And the people still calling me to come back and work with the kids.
Yes.
And I was telling Lynn, she said, you know, Mama, that teacher, they like you. Them children up there, where is your mama? We want her to come back. And I was saying, you know, I was saying, I'm going to have to go. God gave me a good idea. He said, Sister, I want you and Ella Jeffrey and somebody else to help y'all and go out here on these streets on the byway.
Yes.
And tell them so we can win souls.
Yes.
And some people got so many problems, they don't know who to talk to.
No, they don't.
Because the people that got problems, you talk to the preachers and the deacons and the choir members, they got more problems than we got.
So basically you're saying there are some folks in church that they got a few issues.
I was telling the lady today, I was telling Big Baby Mama. I said, Big Baby Mama, she said, who's that? I said, you know what? That's why the church ain't full. And then I said, them up there on the pulpit up there, they getting their pockets full, and we over here all starving and eating and feeding. We fatten up the sheep.
Yes.
We go out there, we fighting up the sheep, and we ain't getting nothing.
So are you saying that the problem with the world, is, and especially in the church, there's too much selfishness, people looking out for themselves?
Everybody now, God said, up in the church. You know what make me mad at the church? I love the church, the Big Bad Jesus Church. I love it.
Yes.
You just take over God's house. These old, if you get some of these old jackleg preachers down up in here, they up there getting fat, feeding themselves, wearing fine clothes, knockouts, cars and all that like that, go get them into hell. You know what you're doing? I'm going to put it just like this. I'm going to put it straight. You know what you're doing? You're robbing God.
Yes.
And God said, nobody robbed me and give away.
Yes.
Because, see, you might think you're getting it for right now, but don't let Big Bad Jesus start taking it away.
Because, yes.
Honey, when he takes, he's going to take. He ain't going to start from the bottom. He's going to start from the bottom, going up to the top. And he will kick you out of his church, too, for using his people.
So you're saying the problem with a lot of people that are blessed to get to the top, they want to forget about the little people.
They look down on us like we ain't nothing.
But, baby, this lady right here named Early Jones, I am a big, bad Jesus person. And I will fight you all the way, me and my God. I'm telling you, I'm like my daddy. Like my daddy, when he was living, he didn't care nothing about preaching. He got a lot of them. That's how I know about the preacher, because we had to help our daddy get rid of them. And that's why I say, I don't care about, you know what, that's why God said, damn, get on earth, you move. That's why I'm on earth, boy, because God let me see things up in the house of God.
So you're there to help any way you can.
I'll try to do anything what God tells me to do.
So you're saying we need to love people, not turn them away because they're not dressed right or they don't look right or they got a earring in their nose?
I'm going to tell y'all a testimony of what happened to me, son.
Yes.
I went to church, Catholic. This old nigga setting up on this old guy that's playing the guitar. He's going to tell me I got his time. But you know what God made? Let me tell you how God did this. This is my testimony. I want y'all to believe it.
Yes.
I used to call this man that's playing the guitar, buddy, my buddy. Sunday I went to church, and I was standing back there urchin, and I went down that aisle and went to church the morning. I said, Kathy, you know what? I looked in my purse, and I said, I got $100 here. Where that money coming from? Then I know I had the candy money. In my other prayers, I had money. And I said, God, why is all this money coming from? And I know I had $100, and I couldn't find my rent money, Kathy. But you know what? I still paid it, and I can understand how I paid the rent off. But Killer gave me, I had $60. I remember that. So he gave me, $30 more to it. I said, Lord, have mercy. But you know what God did? What did
he do?
He wouldn't even let me find the $100 I had in my other purse. That was my rent, Kathy. I said, look at this bad Jesus. And I got to church. I got a fucking, I paid my rent. Now, what is $100 God? You know what he did? He took this $100. I had paid it off, and I said, Lord, where all this money coming from? I'm confused.
Yeah.
I got to church. I paid my tithe. Check on this old guy that played a guitar. That rubber color go on. When I got ready to pick up the tithe, and he said, I gave my time to Sister Dale. Rubber curl in my pouch and said, no, he didn't. Because I know he didn't. I ain't going to argue about it. I didn't argue with him and nothing. I said, Lord would try to tell me something. He was trying to tell me.
Yes.
Rubber curl came and his sister kept telling him, baby, his sister, she called me up to the table. I went over to the table. I said, yeah, what is it? She's a child. I've been doing it for years. And I said, well, all right, I ain't going to worry about it. I went over out there and said, Lord, I said, man, that is not your buddy now. I told you that's your buddy. And that's what I tell people. We got to be careful who we in the church.
You're right, and I like what you said. You could have gotten a fight and everything. So what you're saying, you just held your peace. And you
let the Lord
straighten all that out.
Straighten that out so quick. You know, when I got home, God said, Dad, your buddy ain't what he is. So I said, well, you know what? I'm so glad you showed me, Big Bad Jesus. I love you. You take care of me.
Yeah.
And I love him because he's God.
Yeah.
Once you get God in your life, you can make this journey.
Yes, you can make a journey.
You can make this journey to meet Jesus. When you get there, you can say, well done, Sister Dale. My good and faithful servant.
Yes.
We make our own destination where we spend eternity.
Let me ask you this right now. What do you say to someone that feels like things just haven't worked in their life and they've tried everything and nothing has worked? Work for them. What do you say they need to do for their life to be defined and be changed so that they can have purpose. What are you saying to that person right now that has done drugs, they've read all of office and politics books, and they've tried everything, and what would you say to that person that feels like, hey, nothing works?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. All thing that works for you is Jesus.
Yes.
I want you to do something for me. Go to 23rd Psalm and read, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
And I shall not want.
Yes.
Whatever you got to say, talk to him. Like you talking to me, I'm talking to you.
Uh-huh.
That's where he'll talk to you.
Yes.
You ain't got to say precious thing. Just say, I'm Mary, and I got a problem, God. And I need you to help me to solve it. And you're the only one can do it for me. And after then, when you do that, tell God what your problem is. And leave it in his hand. He can work it out.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask the Lord one thing to show you that he God.
Yes.
See, one thing about you need to ask God one more question. I want to know you, God.
Mm-hmm.
God will show you if you ask. He said, ask and it shall be given. Knock and the door will open for you.
Yes.
Like I'm talking to you now, you can talk to God that way.
Yes.
Because God is God.
Yes.
We all have problems. You might not have a relationship. Just sit out in your house and say, Lord, I need to know you.
Yes.
Show me you.
Yes.
Show me everything about you.
Yes.
And when you're talking to him, he listens.
Yes.
And tell the Lord that I want a relationship with you.
Yes.
Come in the midnight hour and talk to me.
Yes.
And let me know that you call.
Wow.
I'm sitting on the right hand.
Yes.
And I'm God.
Yes.
And without him, ain't nothing we can do. Just talk to God. You know, like you talking, like I'm talking to you on this phone, you talk to God. Have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me.
So you're saying they need a personal relationship.
A personal relationship.
They need salvation.
They need salvation. The salvation is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Say, Lord, you know what? I ain't this and ain't that. But Lord, will you help me?
Yes.
Help me to do this. And if you ask God, he said, ask, and you never know a thing, we got to ask God. Ask him.
What would you say to that woman or that young lady who's in a marriage where they've been being abused and they're getting beat and awful things are happening to them? What would you say to them if they feel like their life is being threatened in that relationship?
Go to God in prayer.
Yes.
Tell your God, but you already see what you're doing. But you need to just talk to him. Tell him about what you're going through.
What else would you like to say that can define this or change things and make things better for people? What else would you like to say that? When I know you mentioned to the young lady, prayer is the key, and she needs to. What if she feels like it's her life? The person might take her life, and they're coming back, or they're going to do something dangerous. What would you say to
them? Go to God in prayer. Talk to God.
Yes.
Tell them that person's name. Tell your husband's name. Give them to God.
Yes.
He'll work it out. It don't harm you to cry. It don't harm for you to break down. Just talk to God like I'm talking to you now. Go to God.
Yes.
Tell him what your problem is. He already said, but if you don't never tell him, he can't help you.
Yeah.
You got to open your mouth and tell God. Just like I'm talking, that's where you talk to God.
And what would you say to that man who knows that he's done wrong and he knows the way he's treating his wife and his family is not right? What would you say to that man that could be listening right now?
He really need to go to God. Because he's the head.
Yes.
And God's head too, but God is the person, but you need to talk to God. Go down on your knees and talk to God.
And repent.
And repent. First you need to repent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All y'all I'm talking to, you need to repent. Mm-hmm. Repent to God.
Yes.
You know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And ask the Lord to forgive you and help you.
I want to thank you for sharing your heart with us today, Sister Dale, and being on location. That sometimes I'm glad to get out from the station and to go out into the streets and to meet people and to know that you're not saying something. You're the person. You say what you mean and mean what you say.
Yes.
And you are no stranger to talking to people out in the street and to dealing with people who have challenging situations. What do you say to some pastors right now listening, knowing that there is opportunity for them? If you want to give them a word that will encourage them, if you want to say something to them that will change their hearts, something that will encourage them, what would you like to say to those people? We are in a time where people are having meeting challenges in their lives, and we all sometimes make mistakes. But again, there may be some pastors right now who want to change. They want to do something different. They want their lives to grow. They want their church to grow. And I'm going to let you say what's on your heart, how you feel about that. Maybe you may can encourage some pastor right now.
Well, when pastors get in a problem like this, you know, that's another thing. God was talking to me the other day. He said, you know, just because you're a pastor, you don't have problems. Yes, you do. If your home ain't right, you know it ain't right.
Yes.
You need to go down on God and tell God what your problem is.
Yes.
Because, you know, then God got people setting up in the church to
yes.
see through you with your problems.
Yes.
Just because you're a pastor, that don't mean you still God's child.
Yes.
And you still, because you need to get your house in order.
Yes.
Because you coming up there telling us getting everything in order.
Yes.
When you ain't in order.
Yes.
Because see, what it is, this thing right here,
mm-hmm.
pointing out, is the church.
Yes.
But this big thumb,
uh-huh.
it's big bad Jesus looking back at you.
Yes.
You can't play church with the bad man.
Yes.
Either you're going to be for real, I'm going to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
My God will throw you out of his church and he'll throw you out of his pulpit
mm-hmm.
because you know you ain't living a regular life at home.
Yes.
You can't come up and tell us one thing when you got a motor in your eye.
Mm.
Because, see, God got people sitting up in the church looking right at you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you call yourself a pastor away and you mistreating your wife.
Yes.
Then you sitting up there, got women.
Yes.
Wearing big, nice clothes, wearing a Cadillac, limo, or whatever.
Yes.
You ain't fooling people. God got people that I can see right through you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God said, told me the other night, he said, damn, I'm going to cut these preachers using my people for nothing.
So you saying that?
Another thing,
yeah.
don't be counting on your pastors. You live for God.
Yeah. So you saying live for God and whatever they need to do, if God lays on their heart to do it, they need to be obedient to it.
They're supposed to be obedient. They can't tell us nothing if they ain't obeying. They ain't doing the word.
Yes.
You can't tell me the word when you ain't leaving it.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna sit here and make God out of line because God's word is changing now from Genesis to Revelation.
That's right.
You ain't gonna make God out of it because God already told you up on the rock, he built his church, and the gates of hell shall bail not against you. You messing with God, church? You messing with God? You messing with God, straight God.
Now, what do you say right now, those people that know they need to change and they're holding, what was that song you used to sing in church? I don't know if you remember a couple of lines of it. Get up from there.
Get up from there. Sitting down. God can't use you sitting down.
Yes.
Yeah. I was telling somebody about that today. We can't play church. Don't even try. That's one thing I can't stand. Unless my dad, that's how come my daddy taught her.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy taught her about a crooked preacher. And I'm thinking, boy.
Yes.
I used to sit back. I tell my baby sister, that's a girl. If God ain't taught us about the church, I'd slap my own foot. But God taught me.
Yes.
That's one thing he said, Dale. You know, God good, Elder, because, see, we ain't got time now to be playing church.
That's right.
Ain't no use to preach and getting fat. And
what? I'll be back.
Okay.
All right.
No use to preach and getting fatter than the member.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just like Rob.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like a hog. When he sat there and eat it all up on the other hog. He
yeah.
agrees.
Uh-huh.
That's just like some preachers is. Want the money, but you ain't living the life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What telling people? Quit using God's people. What is it propping you? But hell.
Mm.
You're yeah. going to hell.
Yeah.
because God already knows you when you first. He knows you. You ain't fooling God. Yeah. You know what you're doing? You missing heaven and going to tell yourself. You put your own self there.
Yes.
We don't have to put ourselves. We don't have to do it. God don't have to do it. We do it ourselves.
Yes.
And no preachers don't have no business doing that.
Well, you know, I don't like to mix things, but I know it's good to get someone like yourself to get your wisdom when you're sharing some things. And tell everyone, one of the things what you like about President Obama and why you think that we should support him with his programs to help.
President Obama reminds me of Martin Luther King.
Yes.
He loved people.
Yes.
See, when you're doing something for God,
uh-huh.
when you love God, God got people out here. He put Obama, he
yes.
got like Martin Luther King, he was for people.
Yes.
And Martin Luther King was for people.
Yeah,
when
uh-huh.
people, when you got God and you love people, you won't always get hurt and slapped.
Yeah. Because you're concerned about the little
because
people.
Because he looks at the little people.
Yes.
That ain't got nothing in it.
Yes.
Blessing them and all that.
Yes.
You know, rich folks don't like it. But ain't nothing they can do about it because
yes.
God put them in here for a reason.
Yes.
And bomb with that plague bomb.
Yes.
And when you got love of Christ in you.
Yes.
You love people.
Yes.
No matter what they do.
Yes.
No matter what they say.
Yes.
You love them.
Yes.
And you can give them to Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
I talked to Obama. He sent me a letter and he said, Sister John, I love my
I agree. Now tell us, if you would, now what do you think about Michelle Obama and why are people so, some of them aren't really nice or they're negative towards her and she's trying to help the children and do some great things.
Obama, what's her name?
Michelle Obama.
Michelle is helping people that lose weight. We need to lose weight. Children
uh-huh.
do eat the right food and all that kind of stuff so we can lose weight to keep us from having all kinds of disease.
Yeah.
Getting fat.
Yeah.
We need all that in going to the doctor for
yes.
that little stuff that we can get on and eat vegetables, do exercise. We need that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're saying she's trying to save lives by promoting health.
She's saving lives to promote us to be healthy.
Yeah.
And that's good. That is really good. We all need exercise sometimes.
We sure do. Don't you think that oftentimes we don't eat right?
We always want to take a lot of medicine, but we don't want to do no exercise.
Yes.
All we want to eat and eat and eat. Don't want to do no exercise.
Yes.
We need exercise.
And what was that you said y'all did on the farm? You worked exercise all the time.
When I worked in the farm, I didn't have no choice but to be exercise. I said it's better than that. I said if I don't know nothing about working in the country, I'm glad about it because I look back on my life. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. And all I come to tell y'all today, it ain't hard to live the Lord. Just have a relationship with him.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking on this phone? That's the way you talk to God. You know already about your problem. Just tell him about the problem.
Yes.
You don't never tell him, you'll never get no help.
Yes.
Well, I know what, I don't know how I'm going to do this today, and Lord help me to do it. If you talk to God, look at if I'm talking to you, that's the way you talk to God.
Yeah, so what you're saying, Sister Dale, is that we need to change our attitude. Now, tell us, why is the attitude so important? And why you think it sets up a lot?
Attitude ain't nothing but of the devil.
So we don't need a bad attitude.
We don't need no attitude. We need love and show people love and kindness.
Yes. So we need a positive attitude with love in it.
Love in it. You don't need to be all up here, up in the shoulder and all that stuff. What is dropping up? Nothing.
So
all God wants us to do is show people love to one another.
Yes. So what you're saying, it doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're poor, if you got love in your heart.
It don't matter what the color is.
If you got love. Huh?
If you got to show, God is love, and we supposed to show love just like God.
Yes.
We don't have time to settle down and criticize somebody. We show love. Show love to people. When you show love, you get love back. Love is an earning thing.
Yes.
You get it back. And that's what it is. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Mm.
Love people where you want to be loved.
Yes. Treat people the way you want
to
be treated.
Talk to people when they may be down. Just walk up to them and say, oh, I love you.
if you show love to people, God, you know, God said if you show, and I believe that, because if you show love to people, people will love you back.
Yes. And you said we need to stop thinking that we're better than
big bad Jesus. We all live because of God,
yes.
And all God wants us to do is love and treat each other right. Love them, no yes. matter what they is. It might not be what you think they is, but God know them. All people that I was telling about, I mean, all we need is to love people, no matter what they are, or no matter what they say.
Well, it looks like we're out of time, but I want to thank you for being on the broadcast and sharing some things from your heart with us, Sister Dale.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you to keep on with helping people and going out there and showing love to the people out there in the streets and everything. You, again, we enjoyed you, and we look forward to visiting with you again and coming out and watching you work out with dealing with people and showing your love. Well, folks, that's the end of the broadcast. We want to thank you for tuning in with us today. Again, you've tuned in. This is the Mr. Motivated Show, and I just want to leave you with one thing. Remember, success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. I'm Mr. Motivated. Have a great week, folks, and we'll see you the same time next week.
All right.